This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, September 11th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a Central Illinois father's reflections on the death of his daughter 5 years ago in the 9/11 attacks. We'll have a look at our forecast also from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, a look at today's news. The morning for many people began with a tribute to those who died in the September 11th terrorist attacks of 5 years ago. In Urbana, Smith Hall and the U of I Quad hosted a musical commemoration with no speeches. Champaign and Urbana's firefighters and police officers conducted a memorial at the Police and Fire Memorial at Westside Park. During the day, members of a student group at the U of I are conducting what they call a Good Deed Mitzvah Marathon. The Chabad Student Association will let people draw random good deeds out of a hat to perform in the community. They can then attach the completed good deed to a picture commemorating 9/11 victims. On this five-year anniversary of the attacks, emergency personnel and health officials in Champaign County are conducting a mock drill. The focus of the large-scale effort is how to handle an infectious disease outbreak. AM 580's Jeff Bossert has more.
Champaign-Urbana Public Health spokesperson Diana Yates calls this the most extensive emergency response drill ever done in the county. It began last week as local hospitals received information on the symptoms of fictitious patients. Others involved include the local police and fire departments, University of Illinois, and Parkland College. Yates says one of the keys is accommodating an excess of patients.
If there's treatment, we're going to try to get medications from the state, stockpile as quickly as we can, and dispense it to those who've been exposed to it as quickly as we can. And then, of course, if there are a lot of people in the hospital and the hospital needs to expand the capacity, we're practicing, or the hospital is practicing, opening up their surge facilities.
Public health officials will practice distributing stockpiled medications at Parkland College tomorrow. On Wednesday, Memorial Stadium will be used as a surge facility. Yates says all parties involved will evaluate their performance at the end of the drill to find any holes in communication. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
On the to-do list for Illinois' public safety director is making plans for housing people evacuated from Chicago in the event of an emergency. Jill Morgenthaler says the city has excellent plans for moving people out of Chicago, but the state needs to develop a database of places that can shelter those people for extended periods. In the 5 years since 9/11, the federal government has provided more than $436 million to Illinois for homeland security. Morgenthaler says a key accomplishment is communications. She says it was hard for emergency officials to talk to one another 5 years ago. The state recently completed distributing a radio system to local officials from police to public health that allows easy back-and-forth communication. Today is the day that layoffs take effect at the Champaign County Nursing Home. Administrator Andrew Buffenbarger says they're laying off 19 non-nursing personnel and reassigning a 20th as part of spending cuts announced last month.
Well, this is going to be a short-term fix, and unfortunately it was the only thing that we could do to stem our losses to make it through the rest of this fiscal year. I predict that management and line staff are going to have to work together harder than ever to get done what now must be done with fewer hands.
Buffenbarger won't predict when the layoff workers will be called back to work. Their jobs were cut to get the nursing home through the fiscal year ending November 30th. But Buffenbarger says he still can't call the workers back until the new nursing home building is open. The building's opening is currently delayed by problems with its ventilation system. Champaign County officials say it might not open until 2007. The president of Southern Illinois University, Glenn Pichard, has appointed a three-person panel to review allegations that SIU Carbondale's long-range plan is based on documents plagiarized from Texas A&M University. The allegations originated with a group called Alumni and Faculty Against Corruption and were publicized last week in the Chronicle of Higher Education. The alumni and faculty group said it found that the planning documents for the document called Southern at 150 were almost identical to a plan crafted for Texas A&M called Vision 2020. Chancellor Walter Wendler arrived at SIU Carbondale from Texas A&M in 2001. Pichard says the committee will conduct an extensive review of the claims and deliver a written report to him in the near future. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The tragic events of 5 years ago today have affected every American on some level, but no one has been more personally affected than Bloomington businessman Bill Soper. His daughter Marie Ray was on the plane that hit the Pentagon. Illinois Public Radio's Willis Kern has his story.
Mary Ray Soper was one of the 64 people on board American Airlines Flight 77 that departed Washington, D.C. on September 11, 2001, bound for the West Coast. Her life and the lives of all the others ended when hijackers flew the plane into the Pentagon that fateful morning. Bill Soper has been a real estate agent in Bloomington for 35 years. He says up to now, each anniversary of 9/11 has been slightly less painful than the previous one.
This is probably the toughest one because, you know, there was a tremendous amount of pain from that day, particularly those first 3 months. But for that first year, and then it kind of subsides, and now you can sort of feel it recharging again, you know. But anyway, it's all in perspective, but you're not shocked anymore and that type of thing. So.
But I assume that every time this time of year rolls around, those feelings start to come back.
Yeah. But this one particularly, because they made it a bigger deal.
Now, Mary Ray had been working in law for several years,
mm-hmm.
and she was involved in the military,
mm-hmm.
and was about to begin a one-year stint as a gymnastics coach at the University of California, Santa Barbara.
Correct.
And she was living in Washington, D.C.
Correct.
And was ready to fly out to California.
Correct.
And had left the airport there at Washington. She was actually moving.
Her condo had a for sale sign in front of it, and her every worldly belonging was on a... loaded on a moving truck, including her automobile, and she and her cat Sammy in a little cage were embarking for a new life, is what they were doing.
So that was actually her last trip, basically.
It is so amazing that that can all be so neatly tied up in moving boxes, and then poof. But it was eerie that it just happened to work out that way.
And I know that just this past summer there was some airport footage that was released that showed her actually going through security, I believe.
The FBI called her mother and I in a good 3 years ago or more. And they had this footage and they just wanted to know, would we like to see it? And they were kind enough to edit it enough for us so they could get it down to two girls that might be her. And sure enough, one of them was from, you know, a description from her mom. What was eerie was she came through and had the cat in the crate and the whole thing, and the terrorists were right behind her. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
What goes through your mind when you watch that?
Well, the first time it was terribly emotional, but after that initial shock, then, you know, it's not quite so bad after that. That's the last time you're going to see her alive, you know. But so that's the first time. Her mom and I were in the FBI office and saw it, and we both reacted the same way.
Now, you and her mother were divorced a long time ago.
Oh, 1969.
So she was just 3 or 4 years old at the time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And she lived mostly with her mother.
Oh, yeah.
But she kept close contact with you. Come to Bloomington often and visit.
Back and forth. That first year, I moved down here in 71, the first 52 weeks. I was up there 49 of them.
We mentioned that she was about to move to California to be a gymnastics mm-hmm. coach at university there. She was here in Bloomington Normal just a few months before she died, applying for a gymnastics job here in town.
Here at Illinois State University. And she kind of thought she had it. Of course, put yourself in a position of an athletic director listening to a gal making pretty good money as an attorney that's willing to take a $22,000 a year job, but they didn't know my daughter. She was committed to it. She could afford it. And, of course, it costs a lot less to live here than it did in Washington, D.C. or Chicago or whatever. So,
now, in honor of Mary Ray, you've chosen to donate some of the funds from her settlement of her death, to ShareFest here in McLean County.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to do that?
Well, that's something she would have liked to have done, I'm sure. Mary Ray was a flaming liberal. She was very much for the little guy. And her death actually has caused me to sit back and reevaluate some of my thoughts about things. And anyway, she would have appreciated that.
How do you want people to remember your daughter?
I don't know. I'm not trying to make her out to any more than she was, but it turned out she was more than I knew she was. And I guess she had some, she was a pain. I mean, she was a pain. She went out with a bang, that is for sure, and the 35 years she was on this planet were chock full of activity and good things and made a lot of friends, and I can't be more proud of her.
Bill Soper says his daughter's name was a combination of his ex-wife's name, Marion, and his real first name, Raymond. His donation to ShareFest in her honor, with funds from her death settlement, totaled $1,000. I'm Willis Kern.
This week begins with a good chance of rain, according to our meteorologist, Ed Kieser. Our forecast for the two-state area today: in northern and west-central Illinois, cloudy, areas of rain and thunderstorms. Those scattered showers and thunderstorms will develop elsewhere across the state later today, mostly cloudy, and highs ranging from 63 in far northwest Illinois to 85 degrees in the far south. Areas of rain and thunderstorms through tonight: clouds and a low from 54 in far northwest Illinois to 66 far south. For tomorrow, in northern and west-central Illinois, cloudy and cool, scattered showers. Elsewhere, areas of rain and thunderstorms persisting and clouds. The highs from 64 in northwest Illinois to 76 in the far south. We'll see some sunshine hit western Illinois on Wednesday. Elsewhere, though, a few scattered showers lingering through midweek. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, September 11th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.